Lord, bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. On this beautiful summer day, the sky is a gentle blue and the weather is warm. I wish we had a lighthearted gospel that matched the day. I would have liked to talk to you about the feeding of the 5,000. And the Beatitudes would have been just right. Or maybe any one of the parables of Jesus where he talks about what the kingdom of God is going to be like. But this morning, our lectionary gives us the gospel story of a man possessed by demons, naked and afraid, who lives among the tombs. His body bears the marks of broken chains and shackles and wanderings in the wild. So when our gospel story starts, and we first glimpse this man accosting Jesus, shouting at the top of his lungs, we can somehow feel both uneasy and impatient all at once. We get uneasy because the story of anyone who is suffering intensely is a disarming story. But we can also get impatient because the belief in demon possession just feels so ancient and even maybe a little ridiculous for modern Christians of the 21st century. The idea of demon possession, for me, conjures up cult TV series like The Walking Dead or iZombie. Or maybe it gives us flashbacks to movie classics like that 1973 film, The Exorcist. Demon possession provides over-the-top entertainment, but it's not in any modern stories that speak to our own modern lives or the lives of other 21st century Christians. Or at least it can feel that way when the gospel story first starts. What's just happened is that Jesus has just left Galilee, a familiar city to Jesus and to us. It's a town with many Jews living in it, and it's a Roman town with order and hierarchy that we would recognize. Gerasene is opposite Galilee on the other side of that lake, but it's also opposite Galilee in other ways. When Jesus gets into the boat and heads towards Gerasene, he's crossing geographic and ethnic and religious boundaries. He's entering a kind of no man's land by his culture standards, a community where the tombs of the dead are hard up against the lake shore, which is an unclean place for Jews. They're unclean animals, like pigs. They're unclean people, like the man possessed by those demons. And Gerasene is predominantly a Greek town, a pagan town. It isn't familiar with Jewish culture or Jewish people. As one scholar puts it, nothing is kosher here. Everything is unclean. The spirits, the tombs, the pigs, the territory. But Jesus goes anyway. Jesus gets into the dirt and the grit and the contamination of the town to heal this man. He gets into his boat and he heads into a contaminated landscape for this one person. So Jesus' determination is the first clue that we have that this ancient story will hold meaning for us. Here, Jesus is being the Jesus that we recognize, for love of this tortured, naked, frightened man, for love's sake, Jesus enters dangerous and deadly territory. And later in his ministry, Jesus takes on the dangers and the deadliness of the cross for love's sake. For love's sake, Jesus never forsakes us. For love's sake, Jesus seeks out broken places and broken people and heals us. So when we remember Jesus' healing ministry and his long, unbroken love for us, a love that spans centuries, we can begin to get a better insight into what 21st century people need to understand about the demons of the New Testament. They are ancient names for modern problems, and they are legion. Depression, anxiety, bipolar disorder or schizophrenia, alcoholism and anorexia, drug addiction and suicide. So many biological challenges and mental illnesses engage our human family. Jesus cares deeply about how we negotiate each one of them. He is always standing on the side of health and healing. He wants nothing less than healing, than new life for each of us. In modern America, we sometimes talk about depression like a dark cloud that's hanging over someone we love. Or we talk about addictions acting like a vulture or a demon that's somehow gotten its claws into someone in our family. We can understand what the first century was describing. We can recognize what those demons are. And if we feel alone or outcast because depression or anxiety or bipolar disorder can sometimes feel like a demon and is part of our extended family's experience, we do not need to feel alone. First, we do not need to feel alone because of the scientific statistics. They confirm how many people suffer from mental illness. The World Health Organization tells us that 1 in 4 people will be affected by a mental health disorder at some point in their lives. 1 in 4. And this year, the National Health Organization says that 450 million people worldwide will suffer from a mental health disorder. And these disorders are among the leading causes of ill health and disability worldwide. So we are not alone if these illnesses exist in our own network of family and friends. They are huge challenges for the human family. And secondly, we are not alone because we have the love of God and the love of Jesus to sustain us. God will never forsake us. And we have the love of our communities, including this church, to encourage us to find therapy or medication or programs to help us find our way. Everyone stumbles in the dark. Everyone stumbles in the dark. Part of being a mature Christian lies in our ability to be sympathetic over the demons that plague other people. And part of being a mature Christian lies in our ability to recognize our own demons. And they don't have to be large or legion to be troublesome. One of my demons, which may not sound like a demon at first, but really is a demon, is my perfectionism. I can tell you for a fact that the adage, the perfect is the enemy of the good is true. Seeking perfection can be deadly. It is a joyless and impossible task. And somewhere in my early 30s, I figured out that I wanted to be a recovering perfectionist. And that is how I've described myself ever since. I am a recovering perfectionist. And I have been living a happier, more honest, and more life-giving life ever since. I occasionally have relapses of perfectionism, but my son and other family members snap me out of that pretty quickly. There's nothing like having a 15-year-old teenage son to snap you out of perfectionism. And I am sure that God's love for me and my certainty of God's love for me help transform that perfectionism into something else more gentle. I am sure of that. Help me get that demon off my back. And I am thankful to be one of the 7.7 billion people, billion imperfect people inhabiting planet Earth. It takes courage to recognize our demons. It takes courage to ask for help. It takes courage and the grace of God to uncover how our demons can be removed or at the very least muzzled. But the grace and the power of God are transforming, and nothing is impossible with God. Fuller life, thriving rather than just surviving, is a part of the Christian life. Joy is part of the Christian story. Christ came that we might have life and have it abundantly. Christ came that we might have life and have it abundantly. The naked, afraid man by the tombs, the disciples of Jesus in the first century, the disciples of Jesus in the 21st century. Amen.